Good morning and welcome to Vineyard Community Church. My name is Logan Kessig. I'm one of the youth directors here for the middle schoolers. I just want to welcome you and thank you guys for joining us virtually this morning. If you are a guest with us today and you'd like more information about the church, please let us know in the comment section below, or you can message us here on Facebook. You can also email us at info@vineyard05.com and we will send you some information about the church. So next Sunday, Labor Day weekend, will be our first in-person church service since March 8th. We'd like there to be as minimal of restrictions as possible, but we will be adhering to the guidelines the state of Ohio is putting out. So masks will be worn. We're also asking that you RSVP for this service so we have a rough idea of how many people will be coming to the service. This will also help us staff our children's ministry with volunteers, how many people we'll need back there. So you can RSVP online at vineyard05.com. Should be just right on the website when you click on it. So thank you again for joining us today. It's a beautiful day, and let's pray for the service. So God, we love you, we praise you, and we just thank you for this day today. Pray that you be with Pastor Chip as he gives the message, God, and that hearts and minds would be open to receive it. And we just give you the glory on this day, God. Just pray for the future of this church and community, and that we put you first in everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. There is power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win. I'm not backing down from any giants, 'cause I know how this story ends. Yes, I know how this story ends. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
You take
what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Oh, you take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
We're gonna see a victory.
I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle to you, Lord. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord.
You take
what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Turn it for good. You turn it for good.
You take what he meant for evil.
You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
See a victory.
I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord.
One more time.
I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Well, good morning. So before we get started with the sermon, I am so excited for next Sunday for our in-person church service. First time since March 8th in the building. We do want to take the RSVPs just so that we know how many people are coming. Got a really special sermon for that day called In It to Win It. And basically, it's about setting goals and where do you see yourself and how do you see yourself getting there? And how can we do that together as believers? So really excited about next Sunday. And also, just in case you're not going to be here, we don't have the capabilities to do live streaming here because of our internet speed and our location, but we will make sure that the video sermon will be up online on Facebook and on our website at around 4 p.m. Sunday afternoon. So we're going to make sure we get that up as soon as possible so that you who are staying home can view the service on the same day on Sunday. Amen? And then later on in September, we have a three-part series that I'm really excited about. It's called Jesus and Politics. I don't think it's any big secret that we are heading into an election season that might or might not be a little heated. But I really wanted to take a look, and I also wanted to let you know, church, where I stand when it comes to politics and how we should view elections and current events and all of that stuff. So that's a sermon series that I'm really excited about getting into. So that'll be for September. And then we also have some surprises lined up for October as well. So going to be an exciting fall season. All right, so today we are ending our forgiveness series, and I hope you've enjoyed this as much as I have. I know that this is a challenging topic. There's things that we got to wrestle with. There's past hurts we have to deal with. There's our own actions maybe against others, or maybe even actions we're doing that nobody knows about that need forgiveness for. And so it's not an easy topic to deal with. It's definitely something that can be struggling for us. But forgiveness is something that must be given if we call ourselves followers of Jesus. We've looked at some passages from the book of Colossians. We've also looked at some things that Jesus said, just some quotes. But when you read in the scriptures about forgiveness, there's an underlying theme that goes along with it, and it is this. You cannot receive forgiveness from God if you cannot give forgiveness away. We read that in Colossians. You can, if you do a cross-reference of that phrase right there, you will find it throughout the Gospels. You will find it, I know for a fact, in the book of Ephesians and Colossians. And, I mean, that is the underlying theme of forgiveness. And today, we're going to look at a story that Jesus told about forgiveness that has a pretty stern warning at the end. Almost one of those things where you're like, whoa, Jesus, that's a little harsh. But I think he tells us this story because he loves us and he wants us to live in freedom. So I'm not, and also, just so you know, we're not sharing these messages with you to scare you about forgiveness and the consequences of unforgiveness. And definitely not sharing these messages to make you feel guilty if you struggle in that area. The reason that we're sharing this particular topic with you on forgiveness is, number one, it's important. But as believers in Jesus, we must be able to forgive others. It's the crux of our faith. And when we carry around years of hurts, the only person who takes on the damage of that is the person who is hurting. You don't hurt the other person. You don't hurt the offense. You hurt yourself. And I believe that Jesus will give us all the time that we need to get to a place where we need to get in order to release somebody or to offer forgiveness for somebody who has hurt us. I think also that when we learn to walk these things out with him, keeping Jesus as close to our side as possible, that is when we find freedom. Freedom in life. And so, with that being said, the title of today's message is Debt-Free Living. Now, I'm not talking about financial debt, although that is a great place to live, and obviously we should strive to stay there. But I'm talking about relational debt. There's a famous prayer that we all know, even people who aren't believers, most of us know. It's called the Lord's Prayer. The disciples said, Jesus, can you teach us how to pray? So he recited the Lord's Prayer, and it starts out like, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and then it goes on, right? Well, then he gets to this part where he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Some versions say trespasses, but today in this context, we're going to use debt. And again, this is that underlying theme. Forgive us our sins, Lord God, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Forgive us our offenses, Lord God, as we forgive those who have offended us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You see, when someone hurts me, when someone does something that hurts me, maybe even offends me, I might start resenting that person. You know, we call that resentment. I resent that person for what they did. I'm upset for what they did. And then if it's unresolved, then I just have these thoughts and this negative emotions about that person or about that offense that stays with me if it's unresolved. And then when I do something against another person or even something that I know that I'm just not supposed to do, then feelings of guilt and maybe even shame start dwelling inside of me. You see, because if it's unresolved, those are the feelings that we have to deal with and struggle with. So these two things, resentment and guilt, are the basis of relational debt. And there's only one thing that will erase relational debt. Say it with me. It's one word: forgiveness. Forgiveness is the only thing that erases relational debt. So we're going to read a story that Jesus told. It's a crazy story. It's kind of long, so I'm going to read it kind of fast, but then we're going to go back through and walk it out. It's in Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 18, and it starts in verse 23. And I love this story because, you know, Peter, one of the disciples, asked Jesus a question about forgiveness, and Jesus answers him. And then in typical Jesus fashion, this is how I always picture Jesus in settings like this. He says this. He gives his answer to Peter, and then he says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared." And he goes on to tell this story. I think that whenever Jesus saw an opportunity to share something about the kingdom of God, he took it. I think whenever he has a lead-in like this, that means he sees an opportunity, he's got people listening to him, and he shares a story that people can relate to when it comes to the kingdom of God. So here we go, Matthew 18, verse 23. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned, to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, 'Please be patient with me, and I will pay it all.' Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. 'Be patient with me and I will pay it,' he pleaded. But his creditor couldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, 'You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?' Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart." That's a story directly from Jesus. So, you know, let's break this down a little bit. This story doesn't tell us how the man got into debt, millions of dollars. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say it was a gross mismanagement of his boss's money. And he is now millions of dollars in debt. Now, in these days, one of three things would happen for somebody who was in debt like this. The person who the money was owed to could make the debtor work the debt off. Okay, you've got to work for me until it's paid off. Or the debtor and his entire family could be sold into slavery until the debt was worked off. Or the third option would be the debtor was thrown into prison, and the hope was that his family would come up with the money that he owed in order to get him out of prison. Now, in this story, the entire family was about to be sold into slavery, and everything they owned was going to be given to his master, to his boss. I'm thinking this would be the worst of all three options. Now, there's no way this guy's going to be able to pay off this debt. It's millions of dollars. So he begs for his life, and then his master, who I'm going to assume is like the modern-day version of a boss for us, right? His master has mercy on him and forgives him of the debt. His boss basically took on the debt for the king. So in this story, this is the analogy that Jesus is saying. The king is God. The master is Jesus. And the debtor, the person who owes the debt, is us. So picture it like this. God is on the throne in heaven. Jesus is sitting at his right hand. When I mess up and I ask for forgiveness, Jesus says, "Look, Dad, Chip's messed up. He's asked for forgiveness. He's doing what he needs to do to stay right with you and to stay right with the other person if he needs to do that. I'll forgive him because that's what Jesus died on the cross for." And so that's what the story is. The king is, the analogy is, the king is God, the master is Jesus, and the debtor is us. Millions of dollars in debt wiped clean. I have to imagine that he and his family are now rejoicing. What Jesus is doing here is he's demonstrating the unconditional love and forgiveness that God in heaven has to offer for us. See, when we put our trust in Jesus and we say, "Lord God, please forgive me of all my sins. Jesus, please come into my life." They're forgiven. All of your sins are forgiven. And every day it's a new do-over. We get to do it all over every day. Jesus forgets about all the things we did yesterday. He forgets them. In one of the Psalms, it says that God throws our sins into a sea of forgetfulness. Every day is a fresh new day for us. Now, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 that all people have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not one person on this earth who is perfect. And then again, in Romans chapter 8, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. You see, that is the good news. As soon as I put my faith in Jesus, I am no longer condemned by my sins and my mess ups. I'm living in freedom. And we've heard this several times the past couple of weeks, and you're going to hear it a few more times today. If God forgives us of all of our wrongdoings, then he expects us to forgive others of the things done to us. How would you react if you had just been forgiven a debt of millions of dollars? You really messed up. You owe your boss. You owe a Vegas bookie. You owe somebody millions of dollars. You know your time is coming. And they forgave you of the debt. And then, now this kind of tells what a rotten bunch we humans are, right? Because look how this guy treated somebody who owed him a few bucks. This guy, it says, owed him a few $1,000s compared to the millions he'd just been forgiven of. Instead of forgiving the guy of his debt, it says that he grabs him and starts choking him and then throws him into prison to pay off the debt. You know, and just kind of meditating on this story and just kind of, like, my mind wants to know, like, what is this guy's deal? Like, he should have said, "You know what? Don't even worry about it. I feel good. Life is good. I am out from under this debt that I thought I was going to lose my life over, maybe. Just, it's fine." But not this guy. He wants to choke the other guy and throw him in prison for a few bucks. So here's what I'm wondering. And again, this is just me. There's nowhere in the scriptures that tell us that this is what was happening. I think the guy who was forgiven of millions of dollars, I think he didn't actually feel forgiven. I think he was in a place where maybe he wasn't able to let go of the guilt that he was feeling. You see, a person doesn't lose millions of somebody else's dollars overnight. What was going on here? Did he not know how to handle the money? Was he stealing? Was he embezzling? Was he spending? What was the issue there? And you know that he knew he was going to have to face the music with this debt. So I'm wondering if the guy was just like riddled with guilt, and when he had been forgiven of the debt, he had a hard time of actually rejoicing because he knew what he had done, and maybe he just thought this is too good to be true. You see, and again, that's just me just kind of just fleshing this story out by myself, but you know, people that are critical of others, people that are unsympathetic of other people's circumstances, they're judgmental, they're unforgiving, they're harsh to be around. Those are people that are usually carrying around unresolved guilt. Or they're carrying around unresolved hurt. And they've got all that stuff inside of them that's been done to them or that they've done to others. Bitterness, guilt, past hurts. These are the things that rob us of our joy in life. You see, the man who could not forgive his friend was thrown into prison to pay off the debt that he had just been forgiven of. And on top of that, Jesus says he was ordered to be tortured. Now, that's the part of the story where I would be like, Jesus, are you serious here? You think it's okay to do that? You know, the ending of this story, it sounds really harsh, but this is the only way to spiritual, emotional, and sometimes even physical healing in our lives. When we fail to forgive, we are imprisoned to those hurts and those negative emotions that we're carrying around. And the only key to start the release process from that prison is accepting the forgiveness that Jesus has to offer. That's the start. Truly accepting it for real. And then learning how to offer that same forgiveness to others that we ourselves have experienced from Jesus. See, when there's so much guilt riding around inside of us, or maybe it's resentment that we have, it's hard to accept what appears to be too good to be true. Sometimes people carry around so much hurt from things they've done that they are unable to feel the grace that God offers. Therefore, they have no grace to offer anyone else. When people truly feel forgiven, they have forgiveness to offer. And sometimes that's a process that takes us a little bit to get to. There's two things in life that we can always count on. Taxes and car payments. No, I mean, that's true, but there's two things in life that we can always count on. People are going to hurt us, and we are going to mess up. There's no way around it. People are going to say and do things that are going to hurt us, offend us, make us feel bad, and we are going to do things to others, or maybe even things that we ourselves know that we shouldn't be doing, and we're going to mess up. Well, the Bible tells us, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Look at how Jesus ends this story after the man was thrown into prison since he could not give away forgiveness. Jesus says, "That's what my heavenly Father will do to you." He says, throw that man, that king was angry, throw him into prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. Not just thrown into prison, but to be tortured. Jesus then says, "That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart." See, he said from the heart. That is the key to that sentence there. Forgiveness is a heart issue. It must become a way of life when we are believers in Jesus, followers of Jesus. It means that we are truly right with God, and we will do our best to make sure that we are right with others as well. The heart is what brings conviction. It's God's Holy Spirit that speaks to our heart and says, "You need to go to that person and offer an apology or forgiveness. Make it right. or you need to stop doing that and talk to Jesus and ask for forgiveness, or I know that person hurt you, but you've got some emotions rolling around that are not healthy. You need to release that person and offer forgiveness. When forgiveness is something that we have settled in our hearts that we will freely give away, we are no longer bound to resentment, bitterness, anger, all those other negative emotions that will rule over us. And when we freely give away mercy, we can freely receive mercy from our Father in heaven. So as we wrap this series up, I'm going to wrap it up with another challenge. I was thinking of a way to kind of close this out, and crazy thing came to me, another challenge. And I think this is from the Holy Spirit. I think this is going to be kind of like our ministry time here. Now, last week I said, hey, here's a challenge. I want you to write a name, the name or names of people down who have hurt you. And I want you to have Jesus by your side and just think of forgiving them. So if you did that this week, I want you to know that I have been praying for you, and I hope that you are able to give forgiveness to that person, to release that person of the hurts. And if that did happen to you, good for you. Amen for that. And also, if the hurt is so deep and it, you know, it's hard to get over, I pray that you are working your way into that area of forgiveness, because it's a process. Everybody is, and listen, if you're having a hard time with it, it's okay. Continue to work it out with Jesus, because he will give you all the time you need. He's been with you this whole time. He will continue to be with you this whole time. Amen? So now here's kind of, I have a word of knowledge for somebody out there, all right? So this is what something that the Holy Spirit has given me for somebody out there, and I hope that this means something to somebody. But here's the deal. You may have been listening to this series, or maybe even just today, and you're like, hey, I'm good. I can forgive people. I'm not worried about what's been done to me. I can live my life, you know, forgive and forget, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm cool. But here's the deal. There's something in your life. It just doesn't feel right. And here's the word. Here's the analogy. It feels like this. You know how when you're putting a puzzle together and you have that one piece that you can't figure out which piece goes into this empty spot, but you find a piece that kind of fits. You know it's not the right piece, but you force it in anyways. And then as you get into the puzzle, you're like, oh, wait, it goes over here. But you tried to force it in over there. That's how you feel. It just doesn't feel like the puzzle is completely the way it should be. So if that speaks to you, I really hope that this challenge helps you. And if you're in an area, this is a challenge I want to lay out for everybody to do. And I'm calling this the 3 B's. The 3 B test, all right? The first one is called the blame test, okay? The blame test can be phrased like this. Who are you blaming for your unhappiness? Who do you blame for the fact that you're unhappy in life? Your joy has been stolen. For instance, you say things like, if it weren't for what they said to me or did to me, I would be like, finish the sentence. Or you say things like, if only my spouse was, we would be happy, right? Fill in that blank there. In other words, there's a lot of ifs in there. If only this, if only that, then things would be different. Things would be better. You know, where's that blame? Where's that blame? The second one is called the bitterness test. Are you hanging on to past hurts? Do you hold grudges and harbor bitterness against people, and sometimes even for the slightest of offense, you just want them to have it because they've said something that reminds you of a past hurt. Maybe there was something that was said or done to you, and you can't let it go. There's bitterness in there. And then the third one is called the behavior test. Do you find yourself acting negative towards certain people or resisting certain people because they remind you of an event or a person from your past? It's nothing to do with that person, but it's a reminder that something gets surfaced and you don't want to be around them, or you lash out at them, or whatever, right? So the blame, the bitterness, and the behavior test. Now here's the deal, okay? We have two options on how to deal with past hurts. We can rehearse them, or we can release them. When we rehearse them, they're constantly in our head, and we have these conversations. We remember what was done to us. We have conversations of what we would like to do to that person in our head. We constantly rehearse the situation or the thing that was done or said. Or we can release them. The way to release them is to give the offense to Jesus. Give it to him to deal with. Ask for forgiveness and forgive the offender from your heart. And it may take some time, you know, because these hurts have been with you for years. But you know who else has been with you for years? Jesus. He has seen every tear shed. He has seen every bad emotion. He has seen every heartache that you've dealt with because of these past hurts. And he is waiting for you to make the next move to call him in on the situation so that you can be freed from these hurts and enjoy life the way that he wants you to enjoy it, with him and releasing the person, offering forgiveness. So also, when you are able to do this, the healing process, he becomes your source of healing, not all the rehearsing and everything else. So just a real quick closing statement, real quick for this series. If we want to live spiritually and emotionally debt-free lives, we have to develop a lifestyle of forgiveness, freely receiving it from Jesus and freely giving it away to other people. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for the story that you gave. I thank you for the fact that forgiveness is something that we can wrestle with, but if we wrestle it out with you, Jesus, we will live in a life of freedom. So I thank you for that. I thank you, Jesus, for the freedom that you, the forgiveness that you offer me and everyone here, Lord God, and that we can all learn to truly give that forgiveness away. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So right now, we will talk about our offering. And again, every week, I just want to thank you all for supporting the church during this time. So after the service today on the video afterwards, there will be all the different ways that you can give. So I'm not going to go through them since we do this every week, but let's pray for our offering. Lord God, I just thank you for all the tithes and the offerings that are represented here today. All the different ways that people are giving, God, bill pay, online, texting, mailing in, dropping off. I just, God, every individual, family, business that is represented, God, I ask that you would bless the money given to Vineyard Community Church and bless those that are giving it, God. And also, Lord Jesus, I want to ask that you would help us here at Vineyard Community Church use that money to the best of our ability to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Mercy like a flood has covered me. There upon the cross, laying down your life, pouring out your love, lifting all my shame. So I'll pour out endless praises, the highest Hallelujah. with your final breath, breaking every chain, taking all my sin and guilt away. You defeated death, rising from the grave. Everything seemed lost, you overcame. So I'll pour out endless praises, the highest adoration. I lift my song to heaven, singing hallelujah. So I'll pour out endless praises, the highest adoration. Lift my song to heaven, singing hallelujah. You are protector. You are the one I love. And doubts, they can all come to, because they can't stay long when I'm here with you. It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come to, because they can't stay long. Set on you, and you meet me here today. Mercies that are new, all my fears and doubts, they can all come to, because they can't stay long when I'm here with you. It's a new horizon.
All right, lift up your hands, everybody. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you. We love you. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday.
Fears and doubts, they can come to, because they can't stay long when we are here with you, God.